Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and for take two with me, as always, is our winner of the weekend woman. I forgot how I did it last time, but it all screwed up, so it doesn't matter. Bethany McChesney.
Yeah.
And we lost our last episode, and it doesn't matter because it was crap anyway. So we're going to carry on. All right. What do you want to start with? So I don't want to talk about DECA Canada till a little later. Because hopefully with our guest, we'll talk DECA Canada with her.
Okay.
All right. So do you want to just dabble quickly with DECA Madrid and talk about what happened over there? Because I thought the biggest takeaways, right, for me was some high-level Hyrox people doing a DECA. And to me, showing that the numbers that a lot of people have already done, i.e. Tara and Lauren and all of the numbers that are already there, are really solid. You know, I mean, what's your big takeaway from DECA Madrid? What did you think about it?
Well, I think we had some people, so we had Michaela come in, and I think she did what everybody expected her to do. She put down a really solid 34-30, somewhere in that ballpark, which, I mean, no surprise. I would have probably put her somewhere in that range anyways. So it'll secure her spot if she wants to come to Worlds for the DECA fit. So yeah, I mean, no surprises there with the performances. It was a three lapper. Some people said it could have been a slow course, which that's fine. I mean, these races are not all created equal, as much as we try to do that with a sport that could be exactly all the same. But yeah, it was three laps, so lots of curves. So she could probably run a little bit faster. Yeah, so hopefully that she makes the trek out to Worlds. We can have a little bit of some faces outside of the North American. So
yeah, the big thing about that, with her and Viola were the big ones, and Jezebel Kramer came in there. I don't know if Jezebel will make Worlds or not. Viola has said she's going to come. That's what she said.
Now, okay.
Things change. I don't know about Michaela, if I haven't heard. Apparently, it's the same weekend, though, as Stockholm Hyrox, and she's from Sweden.
Oh, so it's like your local race.
Yeah. So it's tough to say, right? Who knows? I mean, we'll reach out and see what she says.
What's the prize money like in
Stockholm? Well, Hyrox hasn't said yet, right? They haven't said. All they've said is that there's going to be prize money for, like, I think the top. Oh, wait. So Stockholm, is that a major? I don't remember if that one's a major.
I don't think it is.
So if it's not, there'll be no prize money for it.
Yeah, so I don't know. It might be worth it for her to make the trek.
Yeah, whereas if she came over, and let's just say she put in a mile and a strong, and assuming she qualified, which she probably would, that's a chance for about 9K. You know, I mean, do I think she'd get 9K? No, but it's a possibility, right? I'm sure she, I don't think she'd go home empty-handed, though. That's
yeah.
So yeah, it was good. And the guys too put in there, a lot of good names in there. Jonathan Wynn. Did you see Jonathan Wynn post? He ran into an issue on the tank.
No.
So when he came over to the tank, there was none available.
Oh no.
Yeah. And he was, you know, kind of like, what the hell, right? And I clocked it. He probably lost about 14 seconds there waiting.
Okay. So it was remedied quickly, or someone came off of the tank?
Someone came off of the tank, yes.
Oh man.
So and I think again with some of these smaller venues they're doing, like over there, and with the road shows, there are not as many lanes.
Yeah.
For the thing. So you really, and for the guys running it out there, and we've had to deal with this quite a few times now, you really got to be careful about sending those waves.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be spot on. You got to know who you're sending, when you're sending them, and research it all. And, you know, I'm sure it was just, hopefully that was the only time that happened and didn't happen to anybody else, but yeah. it definitely put a bit of a sour, you know, a bit of a sour look on it for Jonathan, I think. And I think, you know, I don't know that the 14 seconds affected his position. You know, maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but either way, that would be annoying. I could see why he would be annoying. There was another thing with him too, actually, because Jonathan Wynn. He put out a post where he was talking about Hyrox and essentially coming back even stronger last year because some people said his times were not valid because they were fast courses and things like that, and essentially really kind of calling out Rich Ryan for you know, I think the word was schmucks.
That's what he said.
That's what Rich said about the European schmucks on these fast courses kind of thing.
Oh.
I guess Jonathan maybe took it a little personally. So we'll see, because it will be interesting, because I know Rich Ryan's headed over to Madrid to do Hyrox there.
Oh boy.
A lot of pressure on him if he, because he's a lot of talk.
Yeah, you gotta be careful there. Well, I mean, it's not like it's their fault. Like, they race the courses that are available to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a beast. I mean, Jonathan Windsor, he's a hell of an athlete. And I think it'd be, I really would like to see the two of them race head to head. I hope he makes the trip to Madrid and we get to see that. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So back to Madrid Deca Alagan, a lot of other names. Miriam Van Roor, Tom Hogan, Alphonse Durius, who won the Decafit, who was like, you know, back. And again, I think he was like the 15th guy for North American Hyrox. So, I mean, maybe Deca really suits him a little more because he beat a lot of people that he didn't beat there. So that'd be cool. I just like seeing it. I like seeing them over there. I like seeing it grow. The three lap course, I'm positive and negative on it. So yes, slower, but opens up a lot of new venues.
Yeah. And I mean, I think if you can eliminate any sort of hairpins, the still being able to do loops, I think, is still faster than a bunch of hairpin turns. So I don't know. I don't think that it's awful. The people that it disadvantages more is your tall, long stride people that the tight turns, just with the centrifugal force of staying in tight on a curve, it's going to affect them more than it would like your smaller slight runners. But still, I mean,
like a guy like Alexander Ronkovic, who would just bound over the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone like that, it would affect him a little bit more.
Yeah. But I think, I don't, like, I would say my honest guess would be, if you added those extra four turns per 500, I would think maybe you're adding 30 seconds, 40 seconds to your time. Something in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'm trying to think over a 5K. I'm trying to think of what the difference is when you race for, so the 200 meter indoor tracks and 400 meter outdoor tracks, what they say the average distance is for a 5K. And like in that 20 second range is probably about it. And I mean, this is smaller. This would be tighter than a 200 meter. Yeah, so probably in that range, 30 seconds over 5K.
170 meters is about what
they're talking. Yeah.
So yeah, that was what I thought. And so fair enough. And so, I mean, and I'm going to mock Jack Bauer now, because he was saying something like a minute and a half or 2 minutes, and Jack, that's not right. But I'll pay you compliments later, so it's okay. But yeah, I thought maybe 30 to 60 seconds, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Yeah.
So, I mean, someone like Michaela, who ran that 34 thing, if you were to say she ran like a low 35, high 34, I would say that would probably be on the money. Viola had a slower race than her previous one, because Viola was in the 34s on her previous one and then 36s on this one. So she's still around, I think, top five. So
yeah,
really looking forward to her, because I think she's great. I'm a big Viola fan.
Yeah. And this one too, I don't think Miriam is going to get herself in that top 20. So I think it's too fast. The Decafit is, Hyrox is a long grind, and she's so good on machines and everything. And so she shines a little bit more, but I think the fit might just be a little bit too of fast and quick and doesn't really suit her strengths.
There's not enough time on the stations.
Yeah.
Right. And there is no 100 wall ball grind station. There's no 100.
Yeah. And the push is not that heavy. And
no. All of her strengths get nullified.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I didn't really expect her to do. I mean, she still did pretty good, but I didn't expect her to be like a world podium threat that she possibly is at Hyrox. So
yeah,
that's not too surprising. And then, yeah, so all good event, no coverage, not to piss off, get some fucking coverage. I want to watch it, because I would have loved to have watched it. It looked like it was a great race. And again, when I said I like the three laps, is because it does make it easier to condense it to the mile, and it opens up to like you know, these stadiums that they have and all that. And I think that would be nice for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, and from what I know, that was Spain's call, right? Like DECA HQ or whatever, Yancey, is not telling them to run three laps. That's them over there so that they can fit in certain venues deciding to run three laps.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, if you want a faster course in Spain, yell at DECA Spain. Whoever send them up.
Yeah.
All right. And then what else? Yeah. Let's talk CrossFit.
Yeah.
And this how CrossFit many beer do you owe me? How many beer do you owe me now?
Oh, man. Yeah, I know.
I
do. I know. I but know.
It was at the beginning.
Think there's an injury. I think Danielle Brandon had an injury. So Dave and I had bets about the podiums.
Well, who would win over two people?
Yes, yes.
You picked Danielle Brennan, and I had Emma Lawson.
Yes.
And yeah, yeah. Well, you know, history makes fools of us all. I don't know if Danielle Brennan was injured, but she did not look in a good mindset.
No, she was frustrated all the time. And there was a couple times when I noticed she was like acting like maybe there was a back injury or something. Like her lifts looked awful. She failed on like opening weights and stuff. So I think there was something going on too, which she'll probably explain after. But yeah, she was not in her best form. So
she was even having like moments of race brain, like on the one event where you had to unclip the rope and bring it down to the other sled, and she like got confused and went too far and
then yeah.
Flipped a little yeah. bit off on that. So mm-hmm. it definitely was not her day, but she'll be back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it was the hair color. She didn't have the right hair color. She is so popular though, like super
fun. I know.
Really yeah. well. And I like her.
I too. Do enjoy following her.
Yeah, she's a great athlete, so it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So obviously huge Canadian content, like
just, oh, I loved it. Yeah, Canadians all over the place this time.
So I picked Adler and Lawson to win.
Those oh, were did my you?
Picks to win. I did. I actually picked Adler and Lawson to win. Mm. And I would like to say they weren't homer picks, but they totally were. And I just got lucky. Not that Lawson didn't win, but she did amazing.
Did wear the leader jersey for a fair amount.
Yeah, yeah. The only, you know what I think is missing from her game right now is she's still a kid. And it didn't seem like she had that crush. crush the bitches. She didn't seem to have that killer instinct. She's amazing, but it's like she didn't, when Laura started to make that pushback, it's almost like she just, I don't have an answer for this. And I'm just happy to be here. It's like she was content with her standing.
Yeah. And I mean, some of that comes too from not attaining things sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she didn't have that coming in to prove something. However, she did state though that she had some regrets from last season. So mm-hmm. some of her success this year was making up for some things where she felt like she could have done better last year. So, but I mean, Laura Horvath, there's no surprise that she won the games. She's been consistently there on the podium, in that second place position twice. She's been third place. She's been there. Yeah. So, I mean, no surprise.
No.
I was only a little bit surprised just because I felt like the structure of this one and the events didn't necessarily suit her strengths. Like there was so much cardio, which is not Laura Horvath's strengths. Like, but when it came to the barbell, which there was hardly any barbell stuff too, which is her strength. So I think for her to win in a year when the events weren't necessarily in her favor, just some of the longer cardio stuff does show her well-roundedness though.
He was also, I think, probably the best person I saw in the games of getting kicked in the ass and getting back up and going and pushing forward. Like she got hit with some, like you say, some tests that were not her wheelhouse that mm-hmm. she did not do well in. And that dropped her out of the leader position. And she just said, screw it. I'm going to plow my way back in.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. So I thought that's what I mean. She had that, yeah. you know, I want this.
Yeah. And I've watched Laura Horvath for a couple of years too. And I've always said, she doesn't get enough media spotlight sometimes too, because I find she hasn't shown very much emotion, but this year she was much more animated, which I enjoyed seeing too. And then even in her interviews, she spoke a little bit more.
What did you think of her post games interview there right at the end?
I loved it. I like got emotional.
I thought you would because
yeah,
the comment about the our bodies not mattering.
Yeah. Yeah. So they asked her, how do you feel being a role model for young girls? And obviously she's like, well, it is a lot of pressure, but she said she's happy to be able to show young girls that, you know, bodies can be strong and they can be beautiful, and give people, girls and young teens too, someone, women to look up to who aren't. And she used the Barbie doll reference, like, you know, we're not growing up always wanting to look like that anymore. And our bodies are powerful and we can do amazing things with them if we put in the hard work. And I mean, Laura Horvath is one of the bigger athletes, but mm-hmm. extremely powerful. And, you know, her body is just so incredibly capable of so many amazing things. Like, she can run, she can lift heavier than any lady there. And so she doesn't look like the Barbie doll, but, like, I mean, having people like that to admire and being like, I would rather be able to do what Laura Horvath can do rather than look like, you know, the whatever the Barbie doll that she referenced. So I loved it. I was like, that's exactly the message that I love from these things, like CrossFit and hybrid racing, is like being strong and so capable of such amazing things is way, way more rewarding.
And by the way, if you look like Barbie, it is okay. But yeah, what you look like, if you can't do cool shit.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, mm-hmm.
This was my favorite games as far as the events laid out. And it's, I mean, I could put it because there were so many events without the barbells.
Yeah. And some events that I was like, this is so like obstacle racing.
I want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
And some of them where I'm like, I could do that, or at least close to it. You know, I could scale that very closely. I could set that up. I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be some that, like the alpaca. I love that alpaca one. Now, 70 pound kettlebells, a little bit much for me. I totally admit for that'd be a bit much for me, but the legless rope climbs, if I was to take that, make those into 50 pound dumbbells instead of 70 pound kettlebells and do the rope climbs, I would love to do that event. That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. The other one, what was the one? I'm trying to remember where I think Adler won it. Anyway, there was so many events that were just like you say, like hybrid racing, like obstacle course racing. That would just look like fun to do.
Yeah. A lot of sleds, a lot of pulling,
heavy bags,
sandbag stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the one with the 400 meter run, Helena.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Helena one. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to try the actual original Helen workout with the 400 meter run. And instead of muscle ups, it's pull ups. And instead of the, I think it was thrusters that they use there. They use kettlebell swings, which I think I'd rather. So I'm going to just kind of mix and match a bit of that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that. I was like, I got to get my muscle ups down just so I can do this workout.
Yeah.
It was good. I just loved it. I liked the programming. It was great. Mm-hmm. And no dumb bullshit surprises.
Yes. Like a 42K row at the beginning.
And everybody's like, oh, they're going to do we'll talk about the 5K run. They're going to do a 5K run. And some people are like, oh, but who knows? Then they're going to make them go back the other way and throw in a sled drag or whatever, just some surprise shit. And they didn't. And I loved it because it allowed the athletes to be athletes and to shine. And I thought, to me, this was just the best games I'd watch. And of course, the competition was awesome. The women.
Well, and I also enjoyed that we had different people up at the front and it wasn't just the Tia and Matt show again. Like, I mean, just have two athletes so dominant for so long. So it was nice that it was entirely new people at the top.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you can't talk about it without talking about the Roman story.
Mm-hmm.
Roman was dominating.
Mm-hmm.
Was starting to fall a little bit at the end because Adler was making chunks into him, but he was, you know, he was dominant that first 2-3 days, he was just untouchable. Yeah. And then to break his foot and then to come back out and still finish. And I don't know the rule. I don't know if you know the rule. Did he have to finish in order to not be disqualified? So, for example, if he didn't come out for those last two events, is he out of the competition?
Or do we so you have to start the event, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so he gutted it out and ended up getting him a podium spot and quite a bit of cash. So
yeah,
great to see. And like he said, he wanted to be a hero for his son to show him, you yeah, know, fight to the end.
Oh, I was crying again. Yeah. Well, watching him like trying to do double unders on the same 1 foot, and then he came out and he was on the assault bike with 1 foot, and like I've had this Achilles issue too, and there's so many times when like I've mm-hmm. been having to do these stupid things like trying to navigate an injury, and like I was like, oh man. And then for it to happen and like at the worst possible time and such a fluke injury, like he was going over the bars when they were, and then landed on a sandbag funny and ended up fracturing a metatarsal, which I mean, that could happen to anybody. Like it's just super fluky.
Roll off a curb or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You step on a pebble weird. Like that's happened to me before in a race. So yeah, it just, yeah. And then he finished it and yeah, I still got his podium spot. So.
Do you know what I find interesting? And I was talking about this with Ryan when we were watching it. It's all the Americans cheering for this Russian guy.
I know. I found that really interesting too, because there was some like talk at the beginning, why are we letting a Russian compete and whatever, how anybody feels about that. But yeah, in the end, yeah, everyone was kind of cheering him on and just really felt for him and his, and so he didn't speak English. So everything was done through an interpreter, but I think just the emotion that he showed, just shows like really the human side of sport too, and how sport brings people together. Like we don't care anymore what country you're from, like we just feel for you and you know what your message is and why you're doing this, and everyone can relate to that.
And when you say what sport does, they didn't have to make up a storyline, they didn't have mm-hmm. to do anything to write a script. It yeah. just happens because it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wish some of these reality sport shows would get. Stop pushing these stories and just let sport unfold. It yeah. will give you the stories. You yeah. don't need to force it. Mm-hmm. So much back and forth, so many great things. And Adler's performance, take nothing away. The guy was on fire. Mm-hmm. He's just an incredible athlete. And Vellner, again, he needs to be allowed to skip the first day.
I know. He's always in a hole at the beginning.
What is with that? It doesn't matter what the event is. I thought for sure. I'm like, okay, they're not in the water this year. He's going to have a good start. Nope. Not going to do it. I refuse to participate that way. No, I was going to see and a resurgence on Fikowski part. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
5K. Do you want to start on it?
Yeah, so I was so excited to watch the 5K. And it was cross country, but like very, very mild cross country. Oh, yeah. Like a paved path, and there was a little hill at one point. So it was a three looper. And so we're watching, and the announcers, they go, and that this course is extremely accurate. They've measured it 3 times with the measuring wheel. So like, okay, that's cool. And then we see these finishing times, and we're like 17 minutes.
For the girl, 17. Yeah.
Well, I think it was the fastest male time in the age groupers.
Oh, in the age groupers, sorry. Oh, in the age
yeah. Yes. Yeah, in the age. And then I was like, man, they do not look like they're running a 330 kilometer. No way. So then, and I was like, maybe they use the measuring wheel on like the outside of where they could have possibly ran. And then all the athletes obviously run the tangents. So like, you know, maybe he's not lying, and just trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. And then we checked Strava right away. Some of the age group athletes had, and like, it's 4.5K.
Yeah.
That's a big miss. A
huge difference. And like, I think, so I mean, and Jack Bauer posts a lot of this. Oh, dude, he's getting a lot of flack from CrossFit fans.
Jack Bauer is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Oh, what does it matter? And this and that and this and all that stuff like just going on.
It doesn't matter unless you're calling it an accurate 5K. If you just said the cross country run.
Nobody gives a shit.
Exactly.
That's right. But I said, and I rushed to Jack's defense. And I'm like, how would you, so Jack Farlow in the competition, he did what, a 396 Clean and Jerk, was it? Something in that.
I wrote it down. Yeah, 396 Clean and Jerk.
See, I didn't write it down. I was that into it. I know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, what if that was 356 and I had lighter weights?
Mm-hmm.
People be furious.
Yeah.
So it's the same with the run. That's the same principle. And
yeah.
if they had just said before the event, said, hey, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I think actually happened. We measured the course in yards.
Yeah.
So it's a 5,000 yard race, cross country race. And everybody be like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody care. Everybody be happy. Great race. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Nobody care. But instead they doubled down. And I was listening to the announcer when he said it, because I didn't get to watch it live. I had to wait. So I didn't know who won, but I knew there was screwiness mm-hmm. with the length of the thing. And I heard him say, you know, but he said, I've been told they measure it three times. It's like he hedged down on himself, not uh-huh. saying he's 100% certain. He's been saying, I've been yeah. told that this. And I don't think he would have said, I've been told, if they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet my life that they knew they made a mistake, that because most of those wheels are in yards. Or in feet or yards.
They're in feet, yeah. Yeah. They're usually in feet because a yard would be a very big wheel.
They do have a bigger wheel, right? That's, yeah. They do have a bigger wheel. So
mm-hmm.
most of those things are in an imperial system. And mm-hmm. I think they measured it in yards and said, well, okay, 5,000. And, you know, mistakes happen. But don't double down on your mistakes. Say you made a mistake. You know, because yeah. if they did know ahead, that's all it would have taken was, hey, we're doing 5,000 yards, not 5,000 meters.
Yeah. Or
just take out the 5K at all and just call it, like you say, cross-country run.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't care. But yeah, I think, well, they like to, like, or CrossFit athletes can run a 17-minute 5K and clean and jerk 396 pounds. Like,
and that's right. And that's where it bothers me, because...
And also, it's like, for most runners, a 19-minute 5K is also extremely impressive.
Fast. So yeah. Adler on his, and I went and looked on his... you know, kind of CrossFit bio page, had listed his best 5K as like 19:15 or something like that. It's and then he ran a high 16 at this. I don't think so.
Yeah. And we're not talking like the first event of the CrossFit games.
No.
We're like day three when they're a little, they're beaten up.
Quads are on fire. Hamstrings are cramping. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And it's just a bad look for CrossFit. Athletes were amazing. They did awesome run. They were fantastic. The fact that those monsters can run a 19-minute 5K, a legit 19-minute 5K, is amazing.
Yeah. Also, my frustrations with the 5K. The women and the men run together, which is totally great. But then you need coverage equally of the women.
Yeah, normally that's something.
I had no idea what was going on in the winners and the women's race, except the girl that was in first,
Emily Rolfe,
our Canadian Emily Rolfe. But like after that, I didn't know. It was the men.
And normally that's something CrossFit does so well.
They do.
Like
yeah.
Normally, the women's is almost more covered and entertaining than a lot of the men's stuff, and it's good on them. They really do a great job to try to make it 50-50.
Yeah, super they fair. Do. Yeah.
And they kind of dropped the ball on that one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, oversight. I think they just need to rub that 4.5K out of their history.
And, yeah, they should just call it the cross-country run.
Yeah, call it the cross-country run. So
mm-hmm.
it's, anyway.
Yeah.
It was still great. It was my favorite CrossFit to watch.
Yeah. Also, watching Jack Farlow. So, also a rookie Canadian. We need to talk about our Canadians here. So, Jack is the training partner of Emma Lawson, and they train out of Waterloo. They're students at the University of Waterloo, which is also really cool. 21 years old, his rookie year. He first he snatched 305, and then so he had two attempts at each lift, and then he clean and jerked 396 pounds, which is the heaviest weight that has ever been lifted at the CrossFit Games.
Were you like me and not saying, dude, do the 400?
I don't. But I mean, you don't know. I think that was like a 20-pound PB as it was for him. So I think he kind of went for it as it was. But yeah, I'm like, so that means he's lifted more than like Matt Fraser has ever done it. That's so, and he's 21 years old and has the face of a 12-year-old. Like,
yeah, and he's not really the CrossFit build.
No, he's small still. Yeah.
No, and taller and lankier, right? Like he doesn't, you know, he's not looking like Matt Fraser, like Chandler.
And he was wearing like not lifting shoes.
No.
He was like those Vivo, like the barefoot type naturalist shoes or whatever.
He looks like a country farmer who just came in and said, I'm used to pushing cows over my head.
Yeah.
And just
Yeah.
an absolute machine. So
yeah, those are the moments that I love in the CrossFit Games, like, because there's so many little events, different events, and these little moments that happen that are just like just blow your mind, and I love that. And then the announcers too were talking like, well, wait till he gets man strength.
Yeah, wait till he actually matures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the thing, and then he needs to take this and he needs to go back and say, okay, for next year, I know I can outlift everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need to maintain that. And now I need to get my cardio going and all my skill set better. Because wow, he could be dangerous with that kind of.
Yes.
You know, what's the South American guy? He didn't make it this year, but he's another great power lifter guy. Mieros. Anyway, he was missing this year, but he's kind of the same thing. And the crowd gets really behind him because he does lift super heavy. And I think Jack could do the same thing. Mind you, I don't, Guimieros, I think is how you pronounce his name. Anyway, he plays to the crowd. He gets them hooped up. And like,
yeah.
I would act a little, cause he just seemed like such a nice young kid that just like, you know, him and Emma, both, they're just like, you know, we're happy to be here and doing our thing. And
So just great. So Canadian too.
Yeah, they are. It was great. And the Canadian thing, return of Brent Frykowski, back to form.
Mm-hmm.
Bittersweet about him getting fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Because would have loved to see that 1-2-3 Canadian thing, especially those who have competed as teammates in other events. But at the same time, you're happy to see Roman maintain his podium.
Yeah.
Bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
So best one for you ever. I'm like ready to do the CrossFit Open next year.
Every time I do the CrossFit Open, I injure myself.
Oh, so, don't do that then.
As long as there's no double unders, I just have to stay away from those.
So great fear that everybody now has.
Mm-hmm.
1 foot of double unders next year.
Yes, I know.
I would not be surprised when they call them the Roman double unders. I wouldn't be stunned at all.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. If I'm a top level CrossFit, I am practicing 1 foot double unders.
Mm. Well, and then I don't know who it was, but one of the guys, when he was doing his clean and jerks, threw up some ridiculous weight and then kind of showboating a little bit,
did a pose, 1 foot thing,
one legged pose.
Yeah.
So maybe next year will be the year of one legged things.
1 foot. Do you have to do each leg, or is it like you just pick your better one and you're good with it?
That's a good question.
it should be interesting. We were watching, we're like, he's still doing his double unders 1 footed faster than I can do this.
Well, he did them how I do my double.
Yeah, yeah, like
single, single, double.
One, two, another one.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect from him when he came out for the last one. I'm like, okay, I'm like, he can do the bike, right? Like, we know he can do the bike, but I'm like, he can't do like a thruster. And then even if he could do a one-footed, like put all his weight on one leg and do a one-legged thruster.
Yeah.
There's no way he can do lunges. So I was like, I'm sitting there and I'm half in disbelief going, he's coming out. I don't know what to expect if he can do it. And then when he just stayed on the bike, I'm like, okay, he's not going to kill himself.
Yeah. He just had to start it. I mean, he could have, because he was in a boot on the podium.
Yeah.
He could have done them in a boot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I've done a lot of training in a boot.
I beat you in a race in the boot, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But Nye still says that's her favorite video ever.
Pushing me over in the boot.
All right. Enough of that. That's we got a guest. And then we're gonna talk a lot of Decafit Canada. So we'll get to our guests. This woman's been around Canadian Spartan scene, obstacle course racing scene for a long time. She's super well known in the community. She may not be your top elite that everybody in the States knows about and stuff like that, but she means a lot to us up here. So without further ado, and I'm still terrible at these things, Leslie Huffman. All right. So we introduced you before you got here, but this is Leslie. And I always say it wrong because of your Instagram. You're Leslie Huff Woman, no matter what.
Yeah. Leslie Huffman is my real name.
But Huffwoman is better. Huffwoman is better. So just a quick
background.
So we know you originally from Spartan, from in the Spartan world and atmosphere. So how did you get started there?
I guess it was initially through my cousin, Bailey Stoneham. I'm not sure mm-hmm. you guys are familiar mm-hmm. with her. Yeah. So she was doing them and, like in the kids division. And I was sort of like off in the middle of nowhere, tree planting and living in the wild a little bit. And I wasn't really near anything like that, but, I just thought it was so cool. So when I moved to Ontario with my now husband and there were events nearby, I just decided I'm going to try one out. Yeah, so I went for it.
And you, did you start out in like, did you go right into the elite or did you start out in an age group or?
No, I probably would have started in open. So I really wasn't sure. Like I had just had two kids and was sort of like getting back into fitness. But I wanted to get home early. So my first one was at Brimacombe and the earliest heat that wasn't elite because I had never like even seen anything like this was age group. So I did age group. I think I finished like seventh or something. And so I stuck with age group after that because I felt comfortable there. And then that was in 2018. And then in 2019, I went back into age group and I got second at my first race, and then I won the next two races that I did, and that I won the Canadian National Series for my age group for that. So at that point, I switched to elite after that.
That's
are you guys hearing me today?
Yes,
yeah.
That's okay. That's what we love is someone growing into it, and especially in the women, because we're talking about more of this later. And this was one of the things Bethany mentioned to me the other day about you doing the deck, and we'll start about deck in a little bit, but you growing through the sport and then jumping into elite and throwing your hat into the ring in the women's division, because the women's division, and we'll stick with Spartan right now, needs women like you who are willing to step up and to push and to extend themselves and to give it a try. So how did it go for you when you went into elite?
Yeah. It went great. Yeah. I feel like once I had done a few races in age group, so where you're following all the rules and like trying to do it fast, I was comfortable enough to do it in the elite heat without being like too terribly nervous. And I actually got third at my first race and second race. So,
Was Bethany at that one?
No, it was Calabogie in 2019. I don't think that Bethany was at that one.
No, I've never raced Calabogie.
It's my favorite. I really like that one.
That's on a ski hill out there, right?
It was, that's what?
Sorry? It's on a ski hill?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like outside of Ottawa. Morgan was there and I can't remember who else. But
I just wanted to see if you managed to beat Bethany that day or not.
Oh, well, I don't think I've ever beat Bethany. That's okay.
Give it time. And then
she's fun to chase. You're fine when she's chasing you.
And then you had a bit of an injury. And when I say a bit, that's an understatement.
It's an understatement. Yeah. So I broke my foot after the Mont Tremblant Ultra last year. I had another ultra, just a trail race, 2 weeks later. And I rolled my ankle. I had bought like thicker stack shoes than I was used to wearing. And I think that that's sort of what caused it. That when I rolled my foot a little bit, it went right over. And I have an extra bone in my foot. And when I did that, that bone was broken like loose in my foot. So it was really slow to diagnose because it was an extra bone. So they're like, we see that you have this bone, but they couldn't see that it wasn't where it should be. So it was just like loose. So it took like about 4 months for them to even identify that it was broken. And they ended up removing that bone and reconstructing the tendon that it was in. So that happened in January. So I'm just now like trying out trail running again, like getting back into things.
So you get healed up, sort of. And then you decide to take a shot at DECA. What made you decide to do that?
Oh, I've always had an interest in it for sure. I thought it was really cool. Like I love doing like CrossFit workouts and things like that. So I just always thought it would be really fun. But that's the first one in Canada, and I really wanted to be a part of that. Like I think that's pretty special. And it sort of like fit the timeline with my recovery where I knew it was like, I thought I knew that it was like a flat ground run. And based on what I had seen with the DECAs, that it was just a circle around outside, like the outside of an inside mm-hmm. building. So mm-hmm. It going outside into the rain and some of the sharper turns weren't quite what I was expecting, but my foot held up okay. I was extremely cautious. It was fun.
So we can talk a little bit about that. So yeah, you were expecting obviously the full circle, the regular one. Did it sour your experience at all? That, because this is what they call a DECA roadshow, so sometimes it's a little bit different. Did that sour your experience a bit, or was it still okay? Like,
no, I think if I was like trying to make it to Worlds or had like really high expectations of time or performance, it might have, but honestly, if my body was 100%, it probably wouldn't have affected it. But because I was so nervous about my foot, I really was extra careful, and I didn't have any expectations of a placement or time or anything like that, so it was fine.
So last week we recorded an episode and it got all screwed up and it didn't get put out and everything. But Bethany brought something to my attention when we were talking about it, and your name came up. And Beth, you want to kind of give the gist of what you had said?
Yeah. So we're a group of us ladies were chatting before the race and kind of discussing, oh, did you sign up for elite or did you sign up for age group? And this is one of the funny things that I find with DecaFit, because the mile and the strong are not like this. Where so with the fit, you have to choose whether you're racing elite or age group. It's the exact same race, you know, and it's a race where it's timed. And so it'd be pretty easy to just take your top 20, everybody else's age group, but you have to pick. So, and some of the ladies you were talking to, and I think you were one of them too, where you didn't realize that, well, if you pick elite and you don't run an elite top 20, you don't automatically get bumped into age group if you wanted to race age group at Worlds, which is still, to me, I think it's a mistake with DECA, but it is what it is. So so then some of the girls were like, well, maybe I should have signed up for age group and just in case. And then you said, well, I'm going to race elite because if women stop racing elite, then the elite heats will die. And to me, I'm like, this is exactly the problem, though, with making people choose. Because if you are forced to, if you want to go to Worlds, and I mean, to be top 20 is a really, it's not easy. So then all of these other races, the DecaFits and stuff that are happening, if you're making people choose to race elite, and if your time isn't in the top 20, you don't get bumped down, then you end up not being able to race at all. So then what would happen is then we wouldn't really have elite heats. Like there would be like maybe one. So if women and men are in this position to have to choose, or they don't end up at a world championship, if they're in that middle part of people who didn't get in the top 20, then these elite heats will die. And it's, you made such a good point there. And I'm like, good for you. And you hadn't stated your goal wasn't to go to Worlds, but at the same time, you still put yourself out there and race elite. And I admire people so much who still are willing to do that, because, and I don't know how it would have been, but you could have had an age group podium at that event. I don't know how that would have worked out, but that's kind of what you get with Spartan when they make people choose, is you do sacrifice your opportunity for age group stuff when you choose to race elite, but you're an elite athlete, Leslie. And I mean, so I admire you for continuing. And even when you know, like, your foot's still iffy and you know you're not going to be able to push because of the turns and the rain and everything, and you still choose to line up as an elite because that's where you should be. So I have a lot of admiration for people like you who still choose to do that.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think it's a different thing in Canada as well, because we only have one deck of it, right? So if you really are, like, have your heart set on making it to Worlds, then, like, that's the safe thing to do, is to, like, step down to age group. But like you say, that wasn't the case for the DECA Strong and the DECA Mile, but for some reason it was for the DECA Fit. And then the Spartan races have the same issue. I don't think with trail races, I don't know if they even have elite heats, but you don't have to choose for that either. Like, I know they've given like elite awards or like whatever the fastest time is, but I don't believe that you have to choose elite versus age group, that they just give the awards based on fastest time and your age group. So I just, it doesn't seem consistent.
So going into this, is this something that you've, like Beth said, you know, for the DECA, you guys might not have even been aware it was that way, but this seems to me like something though that has been in your mind from before. And that, you know, it's not like, not like you just stumbled out, oh, well, I just wanted to do elite today. This is like, seems like something that you put thought into. And how long have you, cause this is I think this is an issue both with DECA and Spartan at the moment. And so how long have you kind of felt this way, and what would you do to fix it? How would you set it up?
I don't know. I guess maybe something like, is it High Rocks maybe that does, I guess they have the Pro Wave that's a little bit separate, but they also, like, they do the top finishers for the fastest time, but they also do the top finishers for age group, right? So the person who wins might also win their age group. Is that how it works?
Yep, you're right.
I think something like that, where you're not forcing people to choose, the fastest times are still being recognized, but then you still have awards that go beyond just the top three, because a lot of people with stuff like DECA and Spartan, like, really do want to know that they're at the top, or like have that opportunity to win in their age group or to be acknowledged for running fast, even though it might not be like the top three fastest. I don't know. Something like that. I think like asking people to, making the two separate divisions is it's sort of confusing things. Like, it's just not really fair to make people choose maybe just like one competitive division.
Yeah, especially in a race where it's just time based. Like, DECA Fit is different than Spartan. Each race will have its own times, but after that, like, Spartan races are not created equal, so you can't. So what would you say then could help encourage, like, people to move up to elite waves then in Spartan racing specifically? Because as we know, the elite heats are getting smaller, even from when I started in 2017, and there would be so many people in the elite heats, and now it's so small.
I think there's got to be an incentive for people to make that step. Like, when I moved up, there was prize money. So it was like, well, I'm doing this race anyways, I might as well, like, try. Maybe it can at least just cover my race costs, you know? Like, what's the difference to me? Like, I've got lots of medals, I don't need that. So the prize money for me, even though it wasn't a lot, was enough to make the switch. Like, why not try, right? So some type of incentive. I know, Dave, you've talked before about having like a different elite finishers medal. I think that would work. Probably like would actually be more expensive than just bringing back the prize money they had to make all new medals. Like, the prize money wasn't significant, but it was enough, right? Like, I don't know. Some kind of incentive, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, especially up here with Spartan, like we I think we have a real issue with the men's, but really with the women's division. I've seen women's divisions where, you know, podium by acclamation, like there's only three of you, so off you go. I think actually in Red Deer we saw two the one time.
Ew, yeah, Red Deer on the second day, there was only two ladies. Wow. Yeah,
and they were good.
Yeah, we're like Amanda Nadeau, like yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Spartan kind of has it backwards this year because there is an incentive to race age group. Like if you do the national series, you can win a season's pass for next year. You can, I think they got like travel bags, like dry bags and a podium plaque. There's no series for elite. So there's no prize whatsoever. There's like nothing.
There's more incentive right now to race age group. And I think what they're doing, like what Spartan is doing is
elite racers are then moving.
Yeah, I think the push for that was to get people out of the open waves and racing age group. But I think what it's going to do is just kill the elite heats.
Yeah, unfortunately, I do as well. I don't know. I do prefer to just stick to my local races as much as I can. Like I try to hit the races that I can get to from home. And so for that, I'm rarely doing a big event, like a big series race or a championship race. And so when it's just a local race and there's nothing on the line, like, I don't know. It's, I have no reason not to race elite, really.
Yeah. It is a shame though, because I think you're both right where the encouragement, and I didn't know about that season's pass thing or whatever. It drives me nuts. You should not be offering any reward aside from a podium medal for age group whatsoever, because it just makes it worse, right? Because you two are prime examples. You go to a race and like, why would I race elite when I could go podium and win an age group series and get myself a season's pass for next year?
Yeah.
And save myself $1,000.
And then you're seeing like faster times in the, like a lot of the age groups would have podiumed or even won in elite sometimes, but they're just, there's no reason for them to put themselves out there, I guess. Like if they're comfortable in age group and there's a prize at the end, like I guess there's no reason for them to jump up.
Yeah. So like Spartan, listen to your customers. Listen to the people who are telling you what's going on here, because system right now is not working. I know back before they used to have where it was, you know, your elite heat afterwards, they would do your top three masters, and then everybody else was age group. And they went away from that to push the age group, and it did. Age group is flying. People are flocking to it. But like you guys say, your elite field is dead. It's next to non-existent, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse because there's no reason to do it whatsoever. And it's a shame. It's truly tragic. I think I liked it. And then they took away the qual for Elite 2, thinking that would help people jump up. It wasn't the qual keeping the good people out of age group. It was the no reason to do it. The qual was a great thing. The qual
Because you saw many people, like the qualifications is you had to podium, and you saw many people podiuming in race after race after race, and they weren't moving up.
No, exactly. Because there was no reason to. And like I podiumed at Blue for age group that one time, and I would have, if there was a reason to jump up an elite and finish 25th out of 30, I would have, right? If there was some kind of incentive, anything. Not even, could have gave me a little card that said pro card, anything. I don't care. You know, whatever. Yeah. Some acknowledgement that my 25th elite is more impressive than your age group win.
That do pay more money to race elite.
Yeah, and you had to pay for that qual too. So like a $30 for the qual, and then extra for the race. Give them something.
You know?
So it, like I said, you two to me are the epitome of people. They're going to screw up because they don't do this. You know, and I do hope that DECA eventually gets it right. I don't know if Spartan will change it or ever change it, because they're making so much money on age group right now. All they can see is the dollar bills. I'm hoping that eventually DECA changes it, and maybe Spartan changes one day. I have my doubts there. But oh,
I hope so. I think like it's pretty sad to see just a few women at the start line, and like if you want to get better at something, like surround yourself with the best, right? Like
right.
So even if you aren't sure how you'll do, like stepping up to that start line and taking off with the elite women, and just seeing how they approach things, how they, like, you might not stay with them the whole time, but even just that experience alone and getting to know them, goes such a long way too, right? Like,
yeah.
It just will help to make you a better athlete as well, right?
I think it was Mick Jarello always told me all the time. He's like, anytime you can race with the best, race with the best, because you, no matter how you do, you'll be better after.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You'll learn how to be a better racer after. And, you know, he's right. He's absolutely right. How do you feel about some of the other stuff like Spartan? Because, I mean, we've never got to talk to you. So, I mean, how do you feel about the 3K series with what they've done there?
I was disappointed that they canceled the one in Canada. For sure. I would have liked to have tried it. I think it's kind of a cool thing that would work for like certain people, but I wasn't real happy with the way that they just shifted all the focus away from the other events to the 3K series. I didn't quite understand that. Like, I think if they would have just added it on, like, oh, we're doing everything we were doing before, but we're also doing this 3K series, like so many people would have been like, cool, a new option. And being Friday, like to go out and race that and then still do the other races on Saturday, Sunday, would be really great. But the shift of focus, like 100% to the 3K, I think was sort of came out of nowhere. So I would have tried the one in Quebec. I think my foot would have been like okay enough that I like maybe could have, but I'm not going to travel for it. Like,
I think again, I was going to travel for it. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to. But I think you're exactly right. The complete shift was abrupt, too abrupt, and too much. And then I still say, after watching it this year. And actually, we'll all three talk a little bit about Mexico, the one that just happened. But after watching it for this being, I think what you're saying would have been awesome if they had just added it, but added it as 2 1K qualifiers and a 1K final. And then not only is that, to me, more exciting because the competition will be closer, but if you maintained your regular series and your regular races, that makes this one a scenario where, say, you know, Beth, you go to race and then you've got a super the next day. Well, you only ran 3K total.
Yeah.
So you're not burnout. You still got lots left in the tank, mm-hmm. right? Whereas when they put that 3K all at once in the last one, especially when we, that one at Pocono with that barbed wire crawl that just ate everybody up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think ideally what would have been great is leave the North American series like it was. And then Friday night, you just do your Friday night lights, 1K, 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 maybe have a small prize for the winner. Who cares what it is, a free race, whatever. People would buy into it, charge a minimal charge. And people would go and they'd buy into it because they're already there. Let's do it. Let's maybe win this and let's see everybody go. And I think that would have been a better option. And then if it sold that way, then you can add it to a series and make more of it, maybe make some more money of it. But
yeah, I think I would like to see it like maybe Saturday evening instead of Friday evening or afternoon. Mm-hmm. Just, it seems crazy to me that this is where all of the best racers are meant to be going and there's like nobody there watching. Whereas if it was at the venue when everyone was already like finishing their races, you know, and just hanging out after their races, and then that event was going on, I think that would be really great.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. So did either of you get to watch Mexico or watch it best you could? So as far as results go, essentially, well, Nicole ran on her own. She was like,
of course.
miles. I don't even know. And on the 3K part, because it was all in Spanish, which is makes sense and is you know, is the way it should be. It's in Mexico. But I think Nicole almost lapped the second place girl by the time she came around. I'm probably exaggerating, but it was pretty dominant. And then BJ, again, looked smooth and steady and went to the win over Angel.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who came third in the men. I don't know if you know Beth, but
I don't know his name.
But I think the most interesting part of this was the course itself. It was like in a parking lot.
It was all concrete. I did hear that. Yeah.
For me, I'm okay with that. I liked that. It reminded me of Concrete Rush. Did you ever get to do Concrete Rush when they had that?
No. I did look into it, though, and then I think it was canceled. Maybe it was 2020 when I had looked into it.
So, and I can't remember, Beth, did you do Concrete Rush or no?
No.
So it was held like right in, what's City Hall in Toronto called? Queen's Park, I think. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
It was held right in that parking lot area where they see everybody skates in the winter and all that stuff.
Mm.
Right there, 2K course. Basic obstacles. You did one lap and then there was a qualifier for the finals. And then I think it was 14 people made it to the finals. And it was so cool. It was great. But it totally reminded me of that. I was sitting there and I was like, this is Concrete Rush. And I love that. I'm probably in a vast minority because I'm sure many other people did not like the concrete 3K. But I think what I did take away from it too was, again, the laser pistols just don't work.
I think my feeling with the laser pistol now is I don't know if someone's missing it or hitting it.
Yes.
They're totally standing there, and sometimes then they'll leave, and then they're still standing there, and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they know, because I don't think anything shows up if you miss or hit. I think they're just like, am I hitting it? Is it malfunctioning? Is it working?
Yeah. Well, I know the one time when Ida was racing, and because you also then you time out eventually, and she kept going because I don't know, maybe you don't know how long you're there or if the judges they come up and they start timing you when you get there, but they were like, you need to go, and like she was super confused about it. So it's such an awkward obstacle that still I don't know if it belongs yet.
You ready for a statement we thought we'd never have? Can we have the spear back?
I think I prefer the spear.
Yeah, I think I would.
I worked really hard to learn to throw it.
Yeah, I think I would really prefer, because say what you want about the spear, visually was kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
You could, you know, but yeah, that I get the concept of the obstacle is its penalty all at once. Whereas if you're slow to get the targets, you're 20 seconds. If you're fast, you can be 5 seconds. That's a huge penalty. That's great. But nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting for someone to get frustrated and throw one of them guns. Just toss it in the mud or at the target or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. But I did see in the Mexico one lady, she came up and she started using it. And then it didn't look like, I don't know, she was probably 10 seconds. Then she dropped it and walked over and tried another one.
So it was malfunctioning.
Was it? Wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't think she really knew either.
Oh, man.
But I did notice some, even though they set up in the Mexican one, they had some good obstacles. They had Ape Hanger there, which I hadn't seen in a 3K yet, which was cool to see. And a lot of people failed it, which means a lot of those people need to practice their obstacles. And I'm not meaning to be offensive, but at times, right, that was right near the beginning. And it looked like Nicole against some age groupers and a couple of open waivers, because they were all hitting the water on that Ape Hanger. And like, I don't know. I thought,
was the water?
What's that?
Was the water pink? I thought I had seen a video of Nicole doing the rig and there was like pink water underneath.
Yeah, it did look a little bit. I don't know.
I thought I was seeing a video of Tough Mudder.
Of what? Sorry?
Yeah. I thought it was like a video of Tough Mudder.
Oh, no.
But then I realized after that it was Mexico. So.
No,
it just didn't seem like Spartan to have the colored.
They're bleeding over into each other now, you know, a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But Anyway, it was, I still, there's a lot of growing pains there. I don't know if it'll be back next year. It's not catching on the way they'd hoped, the way I had hoped, because I like the short stuff. But yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if this was a championship.
Did you do it?
No, I actually ended up, work got in the way and I didn't be able to go, which is a shame because, well, one, I would have got smoked, but that's fine because it was such an awesome field. That race felt like a championship race. You had a deep field on the men's side, a deep field on the women's side. It was probably the best elite turnout this year. And one, I think I would have had a good race with Lauren Weeks as husband. So that would have been a lot of fun. but yeah, so I would have loved to have gone, but it just didn't work out for me. And I did get selected to go. So I had the okay, but it just sadly didn't happen. Hopefully I get another shot. Hopefully we get another shot, maybe in Canada, maybe a blue somewhere like that. That would be nice if it survives, but if they don't make some changes and listen to the people, it's not going to survive because it's just not going to be worth it.
Yeah.
However, I'm willing to wager the one in Abu Dhabi where they're paying whatever $21,000 in prize money is going to be very well attended and be very competitive.
Probably.
Yeah, just imagine that. Wonder why. So what's the plan then, Leslie, for the future? Are you hitting more DECAs? Are we going back to Spartan? Did you have any inclination to race X-Men this weekend? Because apparently that happened, and that was probably kind of close to you, wasn't it?
I'm not sure where it was. Like, it's in Quebec, right?
Yeah, I saw a post from Lindsay. Lindsay won, and she said it was like 30 minutes from her place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's not super close to me. I'm in Belleville, so like west of Kingston.
Okay, I thought you might have been closer to Ottawa.
Yeah. No. I've always wanted to try an X-Men, but I'm not totally ready yet, I don't think. So I'm actually signed up for the trail, Spartan Trail, this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't quite ready for the terrain of the ski hill. Like, I know Calabogie, and like half of it is long grass over like knobbly rocks. I just didn't quite trust that. The second half is around a golf course, so that would have been just fine, but I just haven't run on trails quite enough to really go into that really rough, dodgy terrain. So I'm gonna try the trail race and see how that goes, but not like expecting to crush it or anything. I'm still just like easing myself back into running, and especially just starting getting back into trails and rough terrain. So we'll see how it goes.
And then long term, are we sticking with Spartan? Did you get the DECA hybrid bug?
I mean, I would love to do more DECAs, but like if they come to Canada more, like if there's one a year, I'll do the one a year. But I'm not gonna like travel around to seek them out. Like I definitely prefer to stick to the races that I can like drive to. So I'll do them when they come for sure. If a Hyrox comes, I'd love to try that. I don't know if I can actually push that sled, but I want to try.
And, I think you can.
Definitely, like, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'll try.
I think the weight
of definitely Hyrox. More Spartan races. Though. Yeah.
I think the weight of
Hyrox. I do really like the.
Sorry, go ahead, Leslie. My bad.
Just the Spartan races, like I really like them. That's sort of like the. Where my heart is, like they're gritty and they're hard and they are, you know, rain or shine, like just, I really enjoy that. So I do like the gym workouts and things like that, but I also like it's a Spartan, just really, it pushes me out of my comfort zone. Like when you're climbing up a hill in the rain and like, you know, most people would be like, that is the most miserable thing you could put yourself through. It's kind of a cool thing to be doing. Like I do appreciate it, pushing through those scenarios, and I just really enjoy the Spartan races as well, so I'll stick with those too as long as my foot holds up.
So Spartan, listen, this is your people. This is as big as it gets. This is a Spartan girl. When she tells you there are things that need addressed, listen, address them. Don't let her down, because she's with you. Bethany, you got anything else for Leslie today?
No, thanks so much, Leslie, for coming on, and keep continuing to do what you do. You're definitely an inspiration as well. And yeah, well, keep continuing to improve. Your foot will get better. It's part of the process of being an athlete. So we look forward to see you on many elite start lines in the future.
Thank you.